Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET Casino is now offering a 100% deposit match up to $1,000 for new users. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head on over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. And we're also brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing daily fantasy sports app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as $25,000 with just one entry. Head on over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And finally, don't forget to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Download the SGPN app wherever it is you download apps.
Hi-ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Yes, your favorite podcast is back up in your ear holes. I'm assuming that's where you consume our podcast, is in your ear holes. If you consume it elsewhere, then hey, that's your business. Whatever you do in the privacy of your own home, that's cool. This would be, for some of you, the 129th time you've had us up in your ear holes or whatever hole you stick us up into. So thank you for those of you crazy degens out there who have listened to all 129 episodes. This, we have to do dedication, of course. I'm going to dedicate this one to all the MMA promotions that are actually running events this week. So we actually have something to talk about this episode, because yes, we have come to another one of our No UFC, No Problem episodes. We've got a good one for you. My co-host has picked out fights on four different fight cards. Spread over two days this weekend for you degens to bet on. So hopefully Superfan Jong and the rest of you degens in the SGPN Slack and the rest of you listening to us, like I said, in whatever crevice you choose to listen to us in, hopefully this will whet your appetite until the UFC is back again next week. So who am I? I haven't introduced myself yet. I'm Jeff Doomsday Fox, one of the hosts of this year podcast. Let's bring in my other half, my life partner in this MMA journey. You may know him as Gumby, or I'm assuming his mom probably calls him Dan or Daniel. Maybe she calls him Gumby. We'll have to ask. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
You want to know the weird thing? None of my family and friends growing up call me Gumby, Daniel, or Dan. None of the above.
Danny?
Yeah, Danny. Danny? Yeah, A lot of my early childhood friends / high school friends and my family all call me Danny, which is it's always a little bit weird to people who I know professionally when they find that out, because it does not sound like what you would call a grown man.
Yeah, do you get mad and say,
but yeah, oh,
do you
also,
get mad and stomp your feet and say, I'm grown now. I'm a big boy.
No, I actually don't mind it. Yeah, it would almost sound weird if somebody from my family called me Daniel. I think I have one person who I know at my work who calls me Daniel. And then obviously I use it in, the circles I podcast and write in, because it sounds more professional than Danny Vreeland. Danny Vreeland does not sound like a guy who you're listening to for advice at any point in time. Fighters are questioning whether or not they're taking an interview with a 12-year-old. But I don't mind it so much from the family and friends. It's nice to have different monikers I go by.
Yeah.
And then in jiu-jitsu circles, they don't even know my name is Dan. Like, no, most of the guys I train with don't know my name.
They just know you as creepy old guy?
No, yeah, that too. No, but most of them...
You are the old guy, right?
There's an older black belt I train with, too. He's a big dude. He's like 5'11", 250. But he's like 5 years older than me, too. So he's okay. He's the elder statesman that's not owning or running the gym. And then there's, I think I'm second or third probably in seniority in that way. But, yeah, no, they just know Gumby. That my name is Dan, so.
Dan, no, your name's Danny.
Or Danny.
Established your name's Danny, yes. I think when I can create 5 or 6, I decided I was going to be Jeffrey for a bit, but that didn't last. So I guess I wanted to be a grown-up at that point, but now I don't. So I'm just Doomsday Fox again now. So I think I've been Doomsday before, haven't I? I think I used that one before.
I think so, and it's funny, too, because we got Doomsday fighting on one of these cards.
Well, where do you think I got it from, Dan?
Come on. I didn't know if
he
just
come out of it out of my brain.
We actually talked about him like 2 months ago.
I took it. Yeah, that's probably why I stole the nickname at that point. Plus, these times we're living in, Dan, it's a fitting nickname, right? I was told on Twitter that one of our super fans, the lone reason he comes to the podcast is to hear us talk about Russian politics. So we got to double down on that, I think, this week.
I can turn it up if you – no, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to – was it the soccer – shout out to the SGPN soccer show, right, who was told that they weren't enough pro-Russia.
Yes, yeah, they got told off. They got called racist, I think. I don't know what exactly happened.
I didn't listen to that particular – episode, but being told that you're not pro-Russia enough is a take in 2022 I wasn't ready for.
Yeah, it's good. It takes the heat off the rest of us. We can just fly under the radar with our dumb takes on whatever we have dumb takes on. So there's always things we can have takes on in MMA, but I don't really want to talk about any of this domestic violence and all this other nonsense that fighters are constantly getting into. So
you don't want to talk about Chael Sonnen saying that he doesn't remember beating up 10 people?
Yeah. Chael Sonnen, he already was a felon. Like, I don't even want to get into it with that guy. How he's constantly every day in my feed, even after this, he's like credited as like a reputable news source all the time from the sites that are constantly. Chael Sonnen says like Chael Sonnen lies nonstop.
Yeah.
Chael Sonnen got arrested for being a liar and cheater. Yeah.
His gimmick was that he was a good liar.
Like, exactly. And he was like mortgage fraud and all that stuff. And back in the day, like it's his whole thing is lying.
I love when they cite him and they're like, John Jones will be back by the end of the year. And I'm like, why would Chael Sonnen have information about John Jones?
Exactly. So, yeah, I hate that. I hate all the MMA sites going for the clicks, which you will not see on my site, moneymma.substack.com. Dana White reacts to Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. Yeah, that's a real news. That's a news story, guys. Every site, even sites like the big sites, are all like, so-and-so reacts to this. And so, like, that's not – you're just trying to – bandwagon, jump onto something that's going to be Googled a lot. But hey, whatever. They got bills to pay, right?
I guess so. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in their lives.
Yeah. We're talking about it as it is. So who's to say?
We're trying to get those clicks.
We're talking about them talking about it. I'm going to call this the slap. That's what the episode is going to be called. And it's, everyone's going to want to hear our takes on it, which I don't have one. We did get one. Question from a person on Slack other than Superfan John. I'm going to knock that one out of here before we break down some fights for you. He was wondering, his name was Daniel. What a weird name, eh? I wonder if his family calls him Danny. We're going to have to find that out. Maybe he can get back to us and let us know. Wondering our thoughts on mixed rule fights like the one Demetrius Johnson just had in 1FC. It's something the 1FC seems to like to do a lot. My quick take is I really not interested in them at all. Like the second I hear like mixed rules, I'm like, oh, it's just not going to be a real fight. It's going to be an exhibition fight. So I kind of tune out and not pay attention to it. That's my maybe cynical take, but that's my take on it.
I'll say this about it. So In one perspective, I do like some aspects of it. In another one, I really do, you know, I'm in the same boat as you. I kind of hate it. I will say this. If it is between two fighters who kind of have exhausted all of who they're going to fight or maybe are, like, towards the end of their career, like, you know what, if Anderson Silva wanted to do that right now with a boxer where he was going to box in one round and then he could use Muay Thai knees in the second round and then had to go back to boxing strictly in the third round, I'd be there because it's Anderson Silva. He's a legend. And at this point, like, what else is Anderson Silva going to do? Might as well do something weird, right? Because if you tell me that Anderson Silva's booked in a straight MMA fight with anybody credible, I'm going to, like, roll my eyes and be like, dude, that guy should freaking retire at this point, right? So, like, if you do something weird like that with a guy, you know, clearly on his way out, just trying to have a little bit of fun, I'm here for it. The reason I didn't really love the Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson one is, like, I still think he's probably the best flyweight in the world, right? Like, he got caught with a weird grounded knee and knocked out last time, but, like, that's a rule set that he didn't fight in for most of his career in the first place. And in the second place, like, it seems like he got caught, but that doesn't mean he's not still the greatest flyweight in the world. So I feel like we're kind of wasting time letting him, you know, if he held his own or if he didn't hold his own against, you know, Rod Tang, like, it doesn't really matter what happened in that Muay Thai round. As long as he didn't get knocked out, he was always going to submit the Muay Thai fighter in the second round. So I both want to see it be a little bit more competitive. Like I said, you know, if you gave Anderson Silva could use kicks and knees in the second and fourth, but not in the first and third, like that could be competitive with a boxer, right? But like this, like we can take down a guy who only does Muay Thai. Like he's got no ground game to speak of, and you're putting him in there with the best flyweight in the world. So yeah, like, I like it as a concept, but in certain circumstances, and certainly not this one, and there's got to be, like, a little bit more parity, I would say. I don't want to see this with guys who could still be fighting really fun fight. Like Mighty Mouse could have a rematch. Mighty Mouse could fight John Lineker. Mighty Mouse could fight, like, there's lots of options. Mighty Mouse could freaking leave one, which would actually be pretty nice. Like, there's lots of different places he could go, and seeing him just do, like, weird exhibition fight kind of doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, or like I'm down for that circus MMA stuff or the circus fight stuff where it's like 3-on-1 and they have to use they have to dress up in those like big stuffed sumo suits and they can hit each other with pillows. Like that stuff's cool. But, you know, you either have a real fight or don't have a real fight is my take on it. But
I will say I have never watched any of that fight circuit.
No, I haven't either.
I think here's the thing about fight circuit.
Clips are all I need to see.
Yeah, like the occasional clip on Twitter. And I think I enjoy the fight announcement as the best part where I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to put a couple of guys in a Volkswagen Beetle and let them box. Like, what does that even what does that even mean? Like, you know, like I think I enjoy that more than I think I would enjoy watching it because I wouldn't enjoy watching it, I don't think. Like, but, yeah, like I think that promotion I feel like that promotion is going to fail because there's going to be too many people who do exactly what we do, and that's watch the clips on Twitter and enjoy the fight announcement more than we would actually enjoy watching people share a T-shirt.
Yep, and Dan watches everything too, so that's quite a damning statement on that fight promotion because Dan watches everything.
Well, not everything because I'm going to give another shout out to Superfan Jong here today because – He requested that we talk about some weekend MMA here, some Friday, Saturday MMA, and he suggested the PFL Challengers series, which at first I was like, the PFL Challengers series has been notoriously bad. Like, it's been really bad, in my opinion. Either just, you know, really poorly made matchups, stuff that's really one-sided. You know, I don't know if you know Billy Big Sexy Swanson, but he was like a regional fighter in Tennessee.
What a name.
Yeah, he was a regional fighter in Tennessee who looks just like you should, while we're on the air and while I'm talking about how much I hate PFL Challenger Series, just Google Billy Big Sexy Swanson. And if you're listening at home, do it as well. But like this weekend's Challenger Series, every single fighter on the card is making their pro debut. None of them have had professional fights before. So, I don't think even I could watch or handicap PFL Challenger Series this week with 10 fighters at 0-0 in their pro careers.
Yeah. So that's, once again, damning indictment on PFL. So sorry, Superfan John, but you're getting picks anyhow. So Dan's just
Did you Google Dan's telling you?
No, I didn't. That's true. I should have. Kevin Nash. No, I didn't Google him. No,
I'll send it to you.
All right. While Dan sends that to me, maybe I should tell you about a couple of our ad reads here, and then we can actually give you some betting picks, because that's the goal. Almost every episode, we want to give you some winning picks on this year podcast. Let's tell you about WynnBET. You can always win over there. Looking for Las Vegas-style casino fun in the palm of your hand? Look no further than WynnBET, the premier online casino from the five-star Wynn Resorts properties. From classic table games to all the best slots, thrills, and jackpots, WynnBET has everything you need for the ultimate casino experience. Sign up today and receive 100% first match up to $1,000. WynnBET win hour from 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific time. Better prices on select games. Anyone who has the WynnBET app is alerted right on the hour. Bet $500 plus on college basketball Thursday to Sunday and be entered to win a two-night stay at Wynn Las Vegas. For example, if you pay your wages $1,100 on men's college basketball tournament Thursday to Sunday, you are eligible to receive two entries into the prize draw. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started today. Here's the fun part. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where you play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And speaking of downloads and stuff, in SGPN, we have an app. You should download it. But also, we're giving away $1,000. That's Final Four, $1,000 giveaway, straight out of Daniel Gumby Vreeland's next paycheck. SGPN is at it again, this time giving away $1,000 of Gumby's money, like I said, in their Final Four contest. Respond to 10 questions, and whoever has the most correct wins $1,000. Simple as that. To enter, just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/final4. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/FINALFOUR. And I think this is the first Dan's heard that this is actually coming out of his pay. So hopefully it's cool with you. You're a generous guy, right?
Somewhat generous, maybe. Also, you should check your email.
Wow, I got an email. See, we're old fashioned. We use emails. We're not like direct messaging people. It says Big Sexy, which usually I don't open those emails. That'll get you some issues. But wow, that guy's interesting looking, dude.
Yeah, that was
property. What does this tattoo say?
It says property of Saudi Daisy, which, to my understanding, is the place where they used to fight in. He used to fight for Valor Fighting Championships when I used to work for a website that shall not be named. I used to have to watch and like clip a bunch of their shows, and it was live from Saudi Daisy, which I don't know what Saudi Daisy is. Well, it sounds like a strip club or a skeezy bar, but yeah, he apparently fought enough there that he got a tattoo that says property of Saudi Daisy on it.
Wow. He got branded, perhaps. does he really need the Made in USA tattoo?
I think when you look at him, it's pretty obvious. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
This isn't a Billy Swanson podcast.
All right. earlier today, I asked the bosses if we could do one, a spinoff one. So I haven't heard back yet. But in the meantime, we'll stick to more mainstream MMA. We're going to jump across the pond, as they call it. We're going to go to the home of the greatest band ever, Oasis, in Manchester, England, for Cage Warriors 135, Skibinski versus Berlinson. Cage Warriors, they tend to do back-to-back events, and they're doing that again this weekend. So we got a Friday and a Saturday event. We'll start off with the Friday one. This is the first one which will show up on your screens, whatever you watch your fight songs. This one is midnight on Friday, so basically Thursday night / Friday morning, however you want to think of it. Midnight Eastern time. We got Cage Warriors 135, like I said, Skibinski versus Berlinson. It is coming from the BEC Arena in Manchester, England. We got 13 fights on the card. Dan has picked out three fights for us to do picks on. Now, there's no title fights or anything on this card. How did you decide which ones are worthy of our attention?
So I went with the main event, the most notable name, and then one fight between, like, the highest ceiling-seeming prospects. Because
do you watch a lot of Cage Warriors?
I follow a lot of Cage Warriors. So you know, I try to watch it when I can, but a lot of times they do these Friday cards, or sometimes their Saturday cards are like before UFC cards, and like if I'm invested in watching a UFC card, there's 5 hours of my day, so I really can't commit another four. So sometimes I wind up just catching the results or looking for highlights or going back and watching a fight or two that somebody suggested. But I always follow the results and stuff because there's, you know, it's the easiest way for a European prospect to wind in the UFC. It's where we've seen so many good guys out of. And there may even be one or two that we talk about on this show that are going to come out of Cage Warriors and wind up in the UFC.
Oh, really? Well, let's get right into it then, because on paper it doesn't look like the strongest card to me. Like
the one the next night is actually better.
Yeah, I think Justin Berlinson may be the only name I actually jumped off the screen that I remember. But yeah, let's dive into it. First one you want us to get into here. It's a 150 pound catchweight fight, I guess. Federico Pasquale versus Paul McBain. Two featherweights. Do you know why they're fighting at 150? Is there any reason for that?
I haven't seen any yet. I don't know if it's travel, because Pasquale is coming from Italy. Italy sounds correct. I believe he's coming from Italy. I think that might be some of it, but I'm not 100% sure.
He does have an Italian flag beside his name on Tapology. So,
oh, look at that.
The gentleman has a Scottish flag, I believe.
Yes, he's McBain is very Scottish.
Relatives are from the McBain. McBain from that McBain is totally not Scottish. The one from Scotland,
he's not. He's Austrian.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's Austrian. Yeah, he seems that way. All right. Why are we breaking down this fight before I give you some our listeners some info on it? You're hot buying someone here.
Well, McBain is 7-2, which is a pretty damn good record in the first place. He's had a pretty long Cage Warriors career. Like most of his pro career has come that way. He's beaten some pretty damn good guys in there. He's fought some really tough guys. Pasquale's 6-0, which you don't see out of Italian prospects all that often, and has fought a bunch of times for Venator, which I don't know how much you know about Venator, but it is like the only Italian promotion that's super good, although I guess I was told to check out Golden Cage next time it has an event, which is also an Italian promotion. But yeah, like, I'll be honest and bury the lead here. I'm kind of high on Paul McBain. I think despite the fact he's 1-2 in his last three, he's also a 6-foot featherweight, which is fun and freaky as hell.
Yep. All right. Let me tell you some info on these here dudes, and we can see why he's so big on McBain. Let's tell you about Pasquale first. He's undefeated, 6-0. 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. This will be his Cage Warrior debut. He's got 3 straight finishes on his record. However, he hasn't fought in over a year. It was actually, I think, March 27th, I believe, when I saw it earlier today. He's 5 years younger than McBain, plus 200. McBain's nickname is the Locomotive, so of course Dan's got to go for him. He's 6-2, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He's both of his losses have come via submission. He's 4-2 in Cage Warriors. He won via TKO his last fight. However, he's only won 1 of his last 3 fights. 2 inches taller than Pasquale, minus 260. So just on paper, it doesn't look like McBain is that great, Dan. So tell us why you're so high on him.
So one of his losses is to Aiden Lee, which I think you can excuse that one. Lee is an absolute beast, another guy who I think you'll see in the UFC someday. But, like, I really just like the Thai – I don't want to call it just Thai striking, because it's got, like, a Thai style to it. But he doesn't keep his hands quite as low and stuff like that. But he's got great leg kicks, great kicks to the body. He's got really nice combinations from, like, going from a punch to a kick. Sometimes even like same side stuff, like right hand followed by a right kick to the body, which I really just I really have enjoyed his creative striking. And I think it lends itself well to picking up knockouts. And if he gets on a run like he did early in his career, I could totally see him in the UFC. He is a little bit older, which was a kind of a bummer for me when I was doing research on him, because I thought he was way younger. But it turns out he's in his younger 30s. And I think he's still got time. He just needs to beat up a couple of guys like Federico Pasquale, who is a guy who's fought, you know, he has a 6-0 record, but at the same time has fought extremely low-level competition. He tends to, like, slug it out with guys and get hit when he should really just, like, be able to back away and outclass them. And when he does shoot a takedown, a lot of it is muscle. And I think that that's going to bode really poorly against a guy like Paul McBain, because as we see, you go for those big, high single legs. Somebody who's got long legs just kind of like outbalances you and makes you look stupid. So I think McBain is going to do that. He's going to pick apart Federico Pasquale and probably win here.
There you go. Dan, I'm going to mark it down. I'm not making picks because I don't know any of these people. I'm marking Dan down.
You know some of these people.
I'll tell Dan.
We'll get to some people you know.
It's true. Actually, yeah, wait a minute. There is someone I know coming up. It's not just Burlington. The dentist is on this card. We're going to do that one next, aren't we? Let's move on up to – where is the dentist on this card, Dan? He's farther down the card. Is he on this card?
I don't know what you're currently looking at. Did he get pulled from this? Did he get pulled from this card since we did our? Oh my God!
He's supposed to fight. It's supposed to be Darren's.
His opponent just tested positive for COVID like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, all right. Well,
we're down to 9 fights.
We're supposed to book. That's why I can find him. Darren Stewart was supposed to fight some D'Souza fella. I got COVID. So all right, 9 fights. That's fine. Then we won't waste our time telling you about a fight that's not going to happen. All right, to the main event.
He was a negative 1,000 favorite. He was a negative 1,000 favorite.
Were you taking Derrick?
Yeah. He was going to punch his head in.
I take it, yeah. All right, well, there you go. Too bad for Darren Stewart. All right, first of all, before I break it down, why is this the main event? It would be – the fighting question would be Daniel Skibinski, Justin Berlinson.
I would put it as the main event mostly because Justin Berlinson is a guy who I think Cage Warriors is high on. This is like the time of your career in a Cage Warriors career where you get a main event. He's like, 5-0, 6-1, right in that range. His only loss is to a guy on Contender Series last year. Other than that, he was undefeated. He was seemingly running through Bellator and Bama, and he had a win in Cage Warriors. And now he's going to get that Cage Warriors main event, which should either get him back in the UFC or another shot at Contender Series. And the way they do that is they book him against like a super veteran, a guy who's fought everywhere for a really long time and could possibly test him. And that's what you're getting here in Daniel Skibinski.
Super veteran. So we got a welterweight fight. Poland's Daniel Skibinski versus Ireland's is Ireland or is he England? He's England, isn't he? English? Justin Berlinson?
Yes, he's from England.
My son would be yelling at me because he knows about every flag for every country. He'd be screaming, "That's English flag, obviously." Yes, Justin Berlinson. All right, let's break her down. Let's tell you about Skibinski. He goes by Skibba. He's 18-6, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. This is his Cage Warriors debut. He's gone 12-1 over his last 13 fights. He won via TKO. No, sorry, he got TKO at his last fight, which ended his 12-fight winning streak there. Plus 100, even money coming back in him, so we got a tight main event. All right, he will be fighting Justin Berlinson, who you may remember from last season, right? Yes, last season.
Yes, last season of the Ultimate, or of the Contender Series, yeah.
Of the Ultimate Contender Series, of Dana White. He's 6-1, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions, and he's been knocked out once, so he's never gone to the distance in his career. 1-0 in Cage Warriors, 0-1 in Contender Series, where he got knocked out by Johan Lainesi, something like that, right?
That's Lainesi? Close enough. Yeah, that's close enough.
Got knocked out by him. That was his last fight. He was 2-0 in Bellator as well, so he's a lot of high-level experience here. 7 years younger, 2 inches taller, 2 inches of reach, minus 130. Over to you.
I'm actually going to take Skibinski in this one. It's part of why I wanted to talk about this one. I just think Berlinson, coming off of his loss in the Contender Series, he's here and they booked him in a fight where he's supposed to be able to make a real big statement. And I think he's the better striker here by quite a bit. But I think people sleep on just how good of a wrestler Skibinski is. He's like quite a bit older, obviously, but he's like a Polish – I don't know if he's a national team wrestler, but I've seen like highlights of him just on a wrestling mat. So like he clearly does some like pure wrestling, and it's looked really good in MMA too. Like he does a really good job of getting in on doubles. He switches, he chains together well. Some of his losses have just been being knocked out by really good dudes like Ishmael Nardiev. But at the same time, like he's out-wrestled a lot of dudes, and he's got good grounded pound when it hits the ground. I just think that's going to be bad for Berwinson. So, I kind of like the underdog play here.
All right, there you go. Some even money for you coming back on Skabinski. So that is Cage Wars 135. Like I said, Friday/Thursday, depending on where you live. But Eastern, midnight Eastern time, Friday morning/Thursday night for the East Coast people, and is on UFC Fight Passes. Pretty much everything. You don't really come across anything that's not UFC Fight Pass now. So, all right. Now we're going to jump up to – there's another Friday event that you want to cover. Speaking of East Coast, this one is CES 67. It's going down Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. So you can rest up after staying up all night to watch Cage Warriors. You can rest up and check out CES 67. So 8 p.m. Friday night. It is coming to us from the Connecticut Convention Center in Hartford, Connecticut. UFC Fight Pass once again. One fight in this card, Dan wants to break down. It is for the middleweight, CES middleweight championship of the world. Can we say of the world when it's a promotion like CES, Dan?
I think it's the CES of the world, so yeah.
Sure, that's true. Okay.
And they're starting to get more global, too. They're not just fighting in the Northeast this year. Rumor is there will be in Fargo, North Dakota soon.
No way. So the North Central, what is that, North Central? North?
I don't try to classify the Dakotas. Yeah. Okay. South Canada is where it is. It's South Canada.
It's true. That's what it is. That is true. All right, so we got Billy Goff, who is he's the welterweight champ right now, correct?
Correct. And he's taking this fight on short notice. This fight was originally supposed to be Justin Sumpter versus Eric Spicely. UFC that Eric Spicely.
Right. Yes. So he's moving up in weight to fight for the middleweight title. So is this a vacant title, I take it?
Yes, currently it's vacant.
Okay. All right. Let's break it down. Justin the Fort Sumpter, 8-4, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once, so he's been finishing all of his losses. He's 4-0 on CES. He won his last fight via submission. However, that was his only win in his past 3 fights. He also went 1-2 in Bellator, 0-2 on the Contender Series. He's 4 inches taller than Goff, 6 inches of reach on him, plus 135. All right, Goff, who's taken this on short notice, 6-2, 4 knockouts. He's been knocked out once himself. He's 1-0 in CES via knockout. That was last March. And that is what got him the welterweight title. He's won 4 straight fights. He also was the Cage Titans welterweight champion. He also was 2-0 in Bellator. He's 9 years younger than Sumpter, minus 165.
I'm going to go with Sumpter in this one. Another underdog play that I kind of like in this one. Yeah, well, like... It's weird to me, right? Billy Goff is the welterweight champion coming up in weight on short notice to fight Sumpter, who had been preparing for a fight anyway, and not for anything. Like, don't get me wrong, Billy Goff is on a better recent run, but he's a guy who has been, like, bodied up by guys who can grapple a little bit, which Sumpter can. Like, Sumpter's got some pretty good grappling skills, but... Like, if you take it back to some of his losses, one of his losses to Kamaran Lachinov, which you might remember from The Ultimate Fighter, he was probably one of the worst guys on the middleweight season that Brian Battle won. But he, like, just has, like, decent wrestling and, like, the will to move forward. And I think Sumpter could probably win this fight on this alone. In addition to that, like, in that last fight for Billy Goff, he, like, got tagged a bunch by Gary Balotello Jr., and that's not a good sign when you're fighting somebody like Justin Sumpter, who is going to be, you know, not just bigger, but a substantially longer and with better submission. So, yeah, I like Sumpter in this one. I was very shocked that he was an underdog.
He's making up names now, Gary Barotalo Jr.
No, people love him. In CES because his dad was a boxer for CES boxing back in the day. So they say Gary Balotello Jr. out in these parts, or at least at Twin River Casino in Rhode Island, which is where they have most of their events. And people go ballistic. He gets a huge crowd.
All right. So my joke fell flat, unfortunately. Anything else on this card that interests you, or any other fighters that interest you on this card?
Yeah, there's actually a couple of really good fighters in here. I didn't put them down as fights to break down because I think they're just going to roll so easily. But one of them is Eddie George, not the running back from the Tennessee Titans in the early 2000s. But the guy
is spelled wrong.
Yeah, it's spelled wrong. It's E-D-D-Y. But the guy has got four first-round finishes, looking very good in all of them. Granted, he hasn't fought very much competition. He also had a bunch of stoppages as an amateur. He's looked super good as a pro so far. They're giving him a guy. I think he's just going to roll over again. But, like, he'll be 5-0 with a win here and probably in line for, like, some sort of big fight and some sort of big promotion coming up. I've also got my eye just sort of slightly on Pat Casey, who's a guy who I think – has kind of achieved below his potential. He's 8-4, but largely due to like a really ugly three-fight losing streak he had at one point, all in like very short order. But outside of that, he's beaten some like decent guys and he's fought some good guys too. So I'm interested to see how he looks. I think he's going to roll over the guy he's fighting. And Mike Kimbrell is a name of a guy who had a lot of hype behind him. He got signed to Bellator far too early, fought dudes who are too good for him, and now finds himself like trying to make good on the promises, and they found him some scrub for him to beat the hell out of. So that should be fun too, in a terrifying way.
So CS is better at booking people in Bellator, is what you're saying.
Correct. Yes, they do a better.
Probably they are.
They do a better job of making sure that their hot prospects do not get squished by somebody random. Did you ever? This is such a good Bellator example of it, and I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but that's what we're good at. Did you ever see when they had Hoyce's son making his debut?
Yep.
Hoyce Gracie's son made his debut in Bellator, which also seemed a little sacrilegious. But immediately was kneed into oblivion by like this weird like 6'5" bantamweight who just is mostly a grappler, doesn't even strike, which is why they wanted him in there with Gracie, and he just landed a knee on a takedown attempt and knocked him out cold. It was like the most Bellator thing to happen.
Yes, sirree. That's Bellator for you, sub. All right, so that is anybody else on CS or is that good?
Nah, that pretty much takes care of it.
All right. Let me tell you about StableDuel. There are never enough things to gamble on, and the one sport that runs 365 days a year is horse racing. Best part is now there's a new way to play the ponies, especially if you're brand new to the sport. Check out StableDuel, a daily fantasy-style app where you can play free and pay games for real cash prizes. Pick your horses, build your stable, and play against others to move up the leaderboard. Win as much as $25,000 with one entry. Don't know anything about horses? Not to worry. The app gives you clear data on which horses to select to build your best strategy. The app is free to download at StableDuel.com. Multiple games are offered each day with free games weekly at tracks all over the United States. Get in the app, create your account, and start building your stables today. Invite your friends to play against you or play against our stables. You can even follow them in the app, and we can compare our own stats. Download now at StableDuel.com and see how many winners you can pick in your stable. See you in the winner's circle. Play, race, win. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. The Final Four is set. And PropSwap is your place to cash in on the big dance. The last 2 weeks, PropSwappers have been making thousands of dollars by simply buying and selling college basketball teams. You can always find the best odds on PropSwap because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. Then after you make your purchase, you can either go for the win or resell your bet at any time to lock in a profit. Like Patrick from New York, who sold a $1,000 35-1 Houston championship ticket for $6,000 on PropSwap before their Elite Eight game. Patrick turned $1,000 into $6,000 guaranteed. The buyer got the best odds in the country. Go to PropSwap.com or download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red-hot tickets for sale, loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash and the first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. Join the real sports bettors on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, now we're going to jump over to Cage Warriors 136 the next night. Milan versus Duncan. Once again, BC Arena in Manchester. This one is Saturday night / Friday night at midnight Eastern time. This one we do have a title fight. Cage Warriors middleweight championship will be going. Will be up for grabs in the main event. But first, Dan wants to break down the co-main event. Aaron Abbey versus Gerardo Fanny. I think he just wanted me to say Fanny is the only reason you picked that fight, correct?
I mean, I did want that, but also I really do like Gerardo Fanny.
I bet you like Gerardo's Fanny, don't you, Dan? All right, let's break it down. Hey, maybe that could be a name for the episode, Gerardo's Fanny. Hey, you haven't said anything else worthy. It could be. All right, let's break her down. Abby. Is it Abby or Abai?
I think it's Abby, but I will admit I'm not positive about that.
All right, let's find out what I can tell. What I am positive about is that he's 12-4-1 with one knockout, four submissions as a pro. He's been knocked out once. It's the only time he's been stopped in a fight. He's 1-1 in Cage Warriors. He's gone 5-1-1 over his last seven fights, including a win in his last fight. Don't have any info on his reach, so I can't get you that. He hasn't been released. He's very shy about his reach, apparently. He's at plus 140. Fanny, 11-2, six knockouts, three submissions. He's been submitted twice, so both his losses have come via submission. And he's fighting a guy who has four submission wins. He's 2-1 in Cage Warriors. He's won two straight fights via knockout or slash TKO. He's won three of his last four. He is a regional champion. He used to fight at bantamweight. This one is down at flyweight. He's an inch taller, 5 years younger than Abby, minus 170. Now, Dan's going to tell you why he likes Gerardo's Fanny.
I do really like Gerardo Fanny for a whole number of reasons. But, you know, you mentioned he's going down in weight class, which is a thing that people worry about sometimes. But I really enjoy his striking quite a bit. You know, Abby's a kind of a guy who relies on grappling, but I wouldn't say wrestling. Like, he's very good at jiu-jitsu, but he's not necessarily all that good at getting the fight to the ground. So if he gets it there, like, you might be in trouble. But ultimately, like, Fanny has only lost to, like, some really tippity-top guys. Like, he lost to Jack Cartwright, who I think is a future UFC fighter, too. And meanwhile, anybody else, he just toasts on the feet. He, like, beats the hell out of them. You know, early in his career, he was getting a little bit more submissions. But now, you know, flying knees, you know, big punches. I think he's just going to absolutely batter Abby on the feet here. And when I was looking at the odds, too, I was surprised they were as close as they were. I don't know if the bookmakers think that Abby's got a chance of wrestling Fanny, but I really don't think he does. So negative 165 is a number. Or did you say – is that the number you said, negative 165?
170.
Okay, so negative 170. That's a great number for Fanny if you're looking for somewhere to burn a little cash.
That's not burn, invest, Dan.
It's that's investing. Right, invest it.
I was going to ask you about the line, but now I don't have to because you already said the good line. So Dan is all in on Gerardo's Fanny. All right, main event. Is it just Jati or do you say the D?
I think it's Jati.
Jati Milan. He is from – where is he from? Ireland? He's from Ireland. He's fighting
Ireland. So that flag is deceiving. That's the Ivory Coast flag.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the Ivory Coast. It looks, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, he now lives in Ireland or lives in – no, he lives in Paris. He lives in France. He's from the Ivory Coast originally.
Okay, gotcha. All right, he's fighting Christian Leroy Duncan, who is Irish, correct?
No, he's English, British, yeah.
All right, this is for the Cage Warriors middleweight championship, five-minute rounds. Do we have a champ? Yes. Milan is the champ. All right, so let's tell you about him first. He's 8-0 with three knockouts, 2-0 in Cage Warriors, including being their champion. I don't have info. They don't have info on his age or his reach, so he's very much a mystery man. Plus 200 on the champion. You don't see that very often. Duncan, 5-0, three knockouts, one submission. All of his fights have come in Cage Warriors, so it's very, very impressive to go 5-0 in Cage Warriors starting out your career. He won his last fight via submission, 3 inches taller than Milan, minus 260. So why is Duncan such a big favorite here going up against the champ?
I mean, I think that people like Christian Leroy Duncan. Also, I'm pretty sure he goes by Christian Leroy Duncan because there was a Chris Duncan in the Bellator in Europe. Yep. This makes him a different Chris Duncan. I think some of it is because he's fought exclusively in Cage Warriors and he's got some really big finishes, including like a spinning back kick and like a very quick rear naked choke. He fought for IMMAF in their European tournaments, which I know bodes really well because, like, if you think about the people who have done that, like, you know, that's why we love Manal Fiorot. So even though he's only 5-0, he does have like 30 fights in his career. But with that being said, I just don't think the value is there on the Christian Duncan line. I think it's definitely there on the Jahti Nilon line because he is such a physical specimen. He's so fucking strong. And his skills when it comes to holding somebody up against the cage are really sharp. Like his head placement, the where he holds his arms, how he finishes takedowns up against the cage, really smart. And in some of the highlights I've watched of Christian Duncan, that is probably one of his weakest areas. Sometimes people back him up against the cage just by, like, you know, with feints and strikes like that. And then once they get him there, he doesn't work off the cage particularly well. And I ultimately think that that could probably be his undoing here against Milan. So especially, like I already had kind of had this fight back and forth, and I was leaning Milan because of the fact that he can control this fight. And then when I saw a plus 200 line, I was like, oh, it's got to be Jahti then. So, yeah, value all in on Jahti's line here.
All right, there you go. He's all in on Jahti's line and all in on Gerardo's fanny. So that concludes Cage Wars 136. Anything else that we should keep our eye on this card? Maybe not in the gambling way, but just in the fan of the sport way.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're a fan of the sport, always Cage Warriors have great cards that they're putting together. I do like this is going to be a weird one, but there's this guy from Belgium who I really enjoy watching, and I'm never going to say his last name correctly. They call him Q-Bomb, but his name is Jan Quay Haggins. I'm sure I butchered that. It's such a hard name to say, but I've really enjoyed watching him fight. He's, like, had a ton.
Who's going to know, really?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to know that I said it wrong. But he's had a ton of fun fights, and he's, like, slowly putting together a really nice run where he's been 5-1. I don't think he's on any major promotions radar outside of, like, you know, Bellator is having an event in Brussels anytime soon. But I'm excited to see him fight because I think he's kind of fun. I know people are high on Jack Eglin, who's only 2-0, and he's fighting another fun prospect. So, yeah, like, always watch a Cage Warriors card if you've got the time and the means, because they always bring, like, both really exciting fights, and, like, tons of these guys will be in the UFC one day.
Yeah, there's especially if they get a championship belt around their waist, then it's pretty much guaranteed that they're going to end up in the UFC. A lot of times they end up with two championship belts around their waist, and then they end up in the UFC. So, all right, that is Cage Wars 136. Like I said, that is Friday night / Saturday morning, midnight Eastern time. And then later on that night, there is another MMA event. This is kind of like the MMA event for UFC, like the Island of Misfit UFC Fighter event, because basically any fighter who washed out of the UFC is fighting in ex-MMA nowadays. So maybe they pay really good. I don't think I've ever seen them pay for them, but they have a lot of big names on this here card that we're going to break down. So this is Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, coming from New Orleans. You can go to their website. This one is not on Fight Pass, so go to xmma.com to figure out how to watch the event. They stream it there. I don't know the cost or anything like that because I haven't bothered looking into it. Haha. So this is from coming to us from the Fillmore, New Orleans, Louisiana. Main event is Francisco Rivera versus John Dodson, a couple of names that you know, surely, if you listen to this, but we're not going to start with them. We're going to start with some other washouts, UFC washouts, I lovingly will call them. Welterweight fight, Curtis Millender versus Jared Gooden. I thought I was rid of the Gooden, Gordon, Jared thing, Dan, but I almost started doing the data for Jared Gordon, swear to God, when I was doing this. And then I'm like, wait a minute, it's Gooden, not Gordon. So I'm never going to be free of this, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. You're constantly going to get Jared Gooden Gordon stuff. And if Gooden wins on this card, who knows how close he'll be to being back in the UFC.
Exactly. All right, let's tell you about this fight. He's fighting another former UFC fighter, like I said, Curtis Millender, who has one of the worst nicknames ever, Courteous Curtis Millender.
It ain't good.
If you're a fighter, right?
It ain't good.
Nope, it's not. I get it. It's a play on your first name. I get it, but it's still not a good nickname. So anyhow, he is 18-8 with 6 knockouts. He's been submitted 5 times. This will be his debut for XMMA. He's lost 3 straight fights, and he's only won 1 of his last 6. So that's how he ended up in XMMA. He was 0-2 in PFL, 3-3 in Bellator, 3-2 in the UFC. He's won a couple of regional championships. Since both these guys were in the UFC, I compared their stats while they were in the UFC. And his grappling stats are better than Gooden's. He's 2 inches taller as well, plus 165. Jared Gooden, not Jared Gordon, is nicknamed Night Train, but it's spelled incorrectly. You know my thoughts on that, Dan. I don't like when people misspell things. I'm an editor, and I'm constantly having to change.
Dan's
writing. Dan's writing is always perfect. I don't have to change much in his. But anyhow, he's the Night Train, N-I-T-E train. 19-7, 8 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out once. The only time he's been stopped in his pro career. This is also his ex-MMA debut. He's got win-loss-win over his last 3 fights. Used to fight at middleweight. This one's down at welterweight. He went 1-3 in the UFC. He has missed weight at welterweight before, so something to keep in mind. He was the NFC champion. He's the more active striker of the two during their UFC career. He's 6 years younger than Millender. Got an inch of reach on him, minus 205. And now Dan's going to tell you who's going to win this fight.
So before I tell you who's going to win this fight, I too wanted to see if XMMA dishes out the big bucks for their fighters. And so I did a little Googling, and the very first option that comes out is a nice article written by a fine man named Jeff Fox.
I do know this?
Who told me how much fighters made at XMMA 1, where the headliner made $6,000.
There you go.
Not
people
good.
People complain about UFC payments, but it's still double.
And the co-headliner who lost made $2,000. I think he won that fight. Made $2,000. Chris Curtis, notable UFC middleweight, was on that card. He made $2,500. So
that's why people aren't complaining when they get $10,000 to show.
So. Right. And this is probably one of the better paying promotions. All right, back to the fight breakdown. I'm going to take the underdog in this one. I know I'm going a little underdog heavy here, but that's sort of why I cherry pick some of these fights. I like Curtis Millender in this fight. He fights really long, which is something that Gooden, despite being like kind of a longer guy in his own right, doesn't do particularly well. And if you look at Gooden's record, like unless he knocks you out, he's probably going to lose to you. That's just kind of how his fights have gone as of late. And I think Millender does a good enough job of staying away from like big blows here that he could probably pick him apart and win. Like, I think people sleep on how good Curtis Millender was before he was even in the UFC. Like, he was beating guys who were, you know, quite good in LFA. He had a decent Bellator run. He got to he beat Kevin Holland back in the day, and the Max Griffin and Thiago Alves. So, like, yeah, he's on a little bit of a rough streak now because he lost to Rory McDonald and the guy who won the PFL tournament in 2021. But, like, I still trust him over somebody like Jared Gooden who, like, I can't go back and point to a really good win. And I just instead point to him being badly outpointed by an aging Alan Joban or Randy Brown or getting one lucky punch against Nicholas Stolza. I like Curtis Millender quite a bit in this fight.
And there's a reason most of these guys are in XMMA is because they are on a losing skid, so you really can't take that as a knock against the guy. What if he fights courteously, though, Dan? Are you worried about that?
I actually think that would bode well, right? Like, I think as long as he did, you know, I know that was a joke, but, like, in all seriousness...
Thank you for acknowledging it was a joke.
Yeah, like, I acknowledge that that's true, but... He, in all seriousness, like, he could just stay away, and I think he's going to win this fight. Like, he just doesn't – as long as he doesn't get into a brawl or take a big punch on a counter, I think he probably outpoints Jared Gooden here.
All right. There you go. Let's see if he likes a underdog again. My namesake, Doomsday Howard, is fighting on this card. John Doomsday Howard versus – he's fighting the last ninja, Ange – is it Ange or Angie?
I think it's Anj Lusa.
Very good name. So they're fighting in a welterweight fight, 3 rounds, 5 minutes. Let's talk about Doomsday Howard first. 29-18-1, 10 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted twice. He's 0-1 in XMMA, used to fight at middleweight. He's lost 2 straight, and he's only won 1 of his last 4. He fought in PFL / World Series of Fighting, where he went 4-4-1. He also fought in UFC, where he went 7-7. He's got a couple regional championships on his
mantle.
There you go. Made his pro debut in 2004, plus 240. Lusa, the last ninja, 7-2, 5 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. This will be his ex-MMA debut. He went 0-1 in the contender series. He's gone loss, win, loss over his last three. He used to fight at lightweight, so we got a former middleweight versus a former lightweight here. He's 11 years younger than Howard, 3 inches of height, 3 inches of reach on him, despite them fighting at 30-pound weight differential before. Minus 300 on him. So what you got?
I don't like John Dugsdale Howard in this fight. I think it's a nightmare fight for him. I'm actually a pretty big Angelusa fan. If you mentioned his contender series fight, I was really high on him going into contender series. I had seen some really nice fights with him where he picked up big, fast knockouts, and he looked decent at Cage or Titan FC, but not great. His only loss was a split decision. And then I went to go research who he was fighting, and he fought Jack Della Maddalena.
We know him.
Yeah, enough said. Now, he did go the distance with Jack Della Maddalena, which is, it's something, right?
And, it is.
This is a great fight for him, maybe a setup fight for him to get back to the contender series. He's a competent striker who was just badly outstruck by Jack Della Maddalena. So I think for those reasons, you can expect him to just absolutely put it on Dugsdale. Dugsdale's always got that wrestling that sometimes sneaks up on you, but I don't think this is going to be the case.
Now, is this the best case scenario for most people fighting in an ex-MMA CS, is to get to the contender series, you think?
I don't think so. So I will say this. I tend to believe that the UFC has been cherry-picking people for contender series off of Fight Pass promotions. CES, yes. LFA, yes. Cage Warriors, yes. XMMA has got a – for those who haven't looked at this card, there are 12 former UFC fighters fighting on this card this weekend. And so, for that reason, you would imagine there are more eyeballs on it, but it seems more like a – I think the fighters think it's more important that it is, or they're paying them enough that they can do that fight. But if I'm Dana White, I am far less impressed, by somebody, we're about to talk about Kyle Stewart and Zach Otto. It's nice that they're fighting high level of competition, but I think he would rather see Zach Otto fight an up and comer in LFA than Kyle Stewart, who he just fired.
Yep. Good point. There you go. Dan's got an answer for whatever I threw at him. All right, let's talk about that Kyle Stewart. Isn't he a race car driver or something?
I think that's a different Kyle Stewart.
Is it? You Americans like that stuff, that race car stuff. This is the co-main event, middleweights, Kyle Stewart versus Zach Otto. A couple names you may know. Zach Otto's name you may know more. Do you know Stewart's nickname is Guns Up? And once again, spelled incorrectly, Dan. G-U-N-Z Up.
I did not know that.
Well, now you do. You know Otto's nickname, I'm sure, right?
The Barbarian? Is he the Barbarian?
Yes, yeah. It is the Barbarian. There you go. All right. This is a pick 'em fight. Let's start with the Barbarian. 20-7, 3 knockouts, 12 submissions. So knocked out 4 times, submitted once in his career. This is his ex-MMA debut. He's won 3 straight fights. He went 4-4 in the UFC. Used to fight down at welterweight. Made his pro debut in 2012. Based on the UFC stats, his striking, and he was had better striking stats, and he was a more active striker than Stewart was. Minus 115, Guns Up Stewart, 14-5, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 0-1 in XMMA. He's gone loss, win, loss over his last 3 fights. He was 0-2 in the UFC. 1-0 in the contender series. He also used to fight at welterweight. He was the regional champ. 3 years younger, 1 inch taller, 4 inches of reach on Otto, minus 115.
Yeah, I like Otto in this fight quite a bit. I think people forget how damn good Zach Otto was when he was in the UFC. He got fired, but he got fired going 4-4 and beating Mike Pyle and Josh Berkman and losing to Li Jingliang and Alex Morano. He lost to legit dudes, and it's kind of upsetting that they fired him after going 4-4. Or didn't come to an agreement on a new contract or whatever. But he's 3-0 since then, and he's really gotten back to his – I think he's gotten back to his, submission grappling roots, which I'm really into. It's nice when a fighter realizes or re-remembers that they're, really good at certain things. And look, Kyle Stewart, I didn't love his run in the UFC quite as much. He got rear naked choked by Chase Reencounter, who I wasn't really into. And now he's like, you know, fighting at a bigger weight class, and that's not a good idea. And you know, he was bodied up by Eric Koch down at when Koch came up. Is it Koch or Koch? I can't ever remember.
Koch. Yeah, Koch.
Yeah.
Or is it Koch?
I'm gonna go with Koch. When Koch came up to 170, he like manhandled Kyle Stewart. So like, I don't know what hope I give Kyle Stewart going up another weight class and facing a guy like Zach Otto is gonna do for him. So this is another one I'm really into the line. I think a pick 'em odds here on Zach Otto to just absolutely outgrapple Kyle Stewart is kind of silly.
Are we gonna influence these lines, you think, Dan? There can't be a ton of money coming in on these fights. Are all our degens going to flood these lines and they're going to get – well, let's see if they get out of whack by the time fight night rolls around.
If they do, at least we have. If they do, at least our people will be the ones benefiting.
Exactly. So hopefully you're listening to us on our feed. If you're listening to us on this MMA Gambling Podcast feed, then you got this info in time. If you're listening to us on the SGPN feed, you had to wait an extra day or a day and a half to hear this. So make sure you subscribe to our feed and give us a review while you're at it. Just be a buddy. I don't care what you say. You can just don't call us racist like they call the soccer gambling podcast. All right. Main event time is – do they have belts in the next MMA?
I don't think this is for a belt, but I do think they have them
or not for a belt.
Plan on giving them out.
Okay. No, this one isn't for a belt. I just wondered if they had made any champions yet. So this is a bantamweight fight. John Dobson versus Francisco Rivera, Jr. I don't remember the Jr. being there before. Was the Jr. there before, Dan?
Did he just get a dad? I don't remember it being there before. I think he probably just didn't use it before.
What do you think about NBA players who put senior on the back
of
the jersey?
Oh, God, I hate it. I hate
it.
Yeah,
it annoys me too.
I hate it almost as much as I love or I hate the guys who are the seconds.
Yes.
Like Kellen Winslow. Well, there's other reasons to hate Kellen Winslow, but like
you.
Yeah, there's a couple. But like he was Kellen Winslow the second, and I remember him being the first one that I remember seeing that and being like, what the fuck is that? like yeah, what happened to Junior? When did we stop using Junior?
Now you got money, you're the second, is how it works. And it doesn't help, one of the Morris twins are one of the guys who has senior on his jersey, and they're about as unlikable as you can get.
Is it Marcus or Marquise?
I think it's Marcus.
Okay.
I think Marcus is the senior. I'm not sure. Who's, like, to prove, this is another sidebar, to prove how unlike they are, whichever one got knocked out by Nikolai Jokic, he missed, like, 4 months or something. No one cares. a one-game suspension. For putting the guy out for the season with a cheap shot, so that just shows you.
But you can't say that means they don't like him though, because it didn't. Alex Caruso get a cheap shot from a dipshit from Duke in
Grayson Allen.
Yeah, and he barely got suspended too. So we can't use the length of the suspension to talk about how much we like him, because nobody likes Grayson Allen's dumbass.
That's true. Ted Cruz Jr. Speaking of juniors, all right,
second.
Like, who's the second? True. All right, we got the magician, Dodson versus Cisco Rivera. Cisco Rivera, 12-8, one no contest. He's been he's knocked out 8 people. He himself has been knocked out twice and submitted 3 times. He's 1-0 in ex-MMA. He's won 2 of his last 3. However, that's his only 2 wins in his last 6 fights. He lost via knockout his last fight. In the UFC, he went 4-6 with 1 no contest. In WEC Never Die, he went 0-1. He used to fight up at featherweight. He made his debut in 2008. He's got 6 inches of height on Dodson, 4 inches of reach. Not surprising, since Dodson was a flyweight mostly in his career. Based on the UFC stats, his grappling stats are better than Dodson's. He's at plus 220. All right, John Dodson, 21-13, 10 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's never been finishing a fight. How impressive is that for that many fights? Mind you, it was at flyweight, but still, mostly flyweight.
Well, he's got bantamweight fights against Piotr Jan and Merab Dvalishvili Jimmy Rivera and Marlon Moraes.
So no one of note, no one with knockout power whatsoever. So 0-1 next MMA, he's lost two straight. He's won one of his last five. He went 10-7 in the UFC. Like I said, mostly at flyweight, but end of his career was in the UFC was a bantamweight. He went 3-0 on Ultimate Fighter and was the champion because everything, even these cards, everything comes back to the Ultimate Fighter. Made his pro debut in 2004, 3 years younger than Rivera, more active striker based on the UFC stats, minus 280. Dan's going to break it down while I plug my laptop in so it doesn't die. Go ahead.
So first of all, I'm going to say John Dodson's win in the Ultimate Fighter finale is my second favorite Ultimate Fighter finale ever because he knocks TJ Dillashaw into next week, and it's just like, just perfect. The only one that exists that is better than that is Roy Nelson's knockout of Brendan Schaub because getting to see both Brendan Schaub knocked out cold in the way that his body like slinks to the ground after Roy Nelson clubs him. And that's really the only way you can describe that knockout. He clubs him. But anyway, yeah, that was my cheap way of talking about Roy Nelson for a second. You got to pick Dodson in this fight. I love the resurgent story of Francisco Rivera, a guy who was basically retired for 4.5 years. He comes back. He looks good doing it. John Dodson is still the guy who beat Nathaniel Wood 2 years ago, right? Like, he knocked out Nathaniel Wood just 2 years ago. It's not like it was a long time ago. And like, Nathaniel Wood is still a really great prospect, pun intended.
The prospect.
Yeah. He also beat Pedro Munhoz. He beat Eddie Wineland. This guy is a beast. And like, yes, is he clearly declining? He sure is, but I'll still take him over a guy who is retired for 5 years and is coming off a loss. Yeah, Dodson all the way here. I don't think they'll have props, but if they do, I definitely like a Dodson decision prop.
So the guy takes time off to find a father, and you're going to pick against him because of it.
Yeah, sure. That could be the reason.
All right. So that's four of the fights on what 10 fight card I think this is. 11 fight lineup. Anything else of note on this card that jumps out at you?
Yeah, there's a prospect I really like that I'm going to shout out because I talked to him on the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Almost went a whole episode without talking about that.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I really like Adley Edwards. He's a guy out of North Carolina, but he also trains with Marcus the Irish Hand Grenade Davis. And he's getting ready for his fight. He's 8-1, so he's like a highly touted prospect. I also, of all of the guys who are former UFC guys who – kind of got the shaft in the UFC, and I would have liked to see get another try. Cole Smith really should have gotten another try. He went 1-2. He beat the hell out of Mitch Gagnon and then lost a split decision to Miles Johns that I thought he could have possibly won, and then lost a decision to Hunter Azier, which I don't think those are awful losses, and he should have been cut for it. So it's like good to see him getting like kind of a higher profile fight. So I'm excited to watch him. I like
And
he's Canadian. I like watching Kyle Bochniak, a guy who went toe-to-toe with Zabit and lived to tell the tale. There's tons of people on this card that are really fun to watch. But, Adley Edwards, Cole Smith, Kyle Bochniak. Tateki Matsuda is kind of fun. He's a flyweight who spent a little time in the UFC. So, if you are on, I don't even know if it costs money, but if you're on XMMA.TV, you know, check it out.
Adley, like, he has time to fight and be a catcher. That's crazy, Dan.
Is there a catcher named Adley? Oh, you're thinking of Adley Rauschman.
It's a different guy.
Yeah, it's a different guy. Yeah, I thought there was maybe an Adley Edwards, but yeah, no.
No, Adley's not your most common name, so no. That would be surprising.
You just got the first name. Rauschman is not a really common last name either.
No, I wonder if he's the second or a third, though.
Adley Rauschman the third.
There you go. Hey, that could be a good name for the episode too, Dan. I
think it has to be Ted Cruz the second because we talked about Grayson Allen for 5 minutes.
That's true. I will take that into consideration when I make this podcast. That's it. We gave you it was gonna be 10, but we gave you 9 fights. Come on, it's an off week. That's pretty damn good. What are you complaining about? The podcast is free too. Anything else you need to tell the people, Dan, before I do our plugs and all that jazz that I like to do?
No, I think you nailed it all.
Wow, great for me. Good job as a host. All right, follow us on Twitter. Jeff Fox Writer would be me. He would be Gumby Vreeland. If you have anything you'd like us to cover on Sunday's episode, whether it be fights or just general questions or anything like that, or topics, hit us. You can hit us up on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer, Gumby Vreeland, or in the SGPN Slack channel where all the degens hang out. Basically, go to Slack, find SGPN, sign up, get in the SGPN Slack. We got every sport. We got a music channel in there now where we talk about music. We got a food channel, which is popular. We got a channel for everything. So get in there. And read all our stuff, obviously, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We got our baseball previews are in full swing. Obviously, we have USFL. We are the USFL site. I think that's some football thing you guys play, right, in the spring or summer?
I don't believe it's ever happened. Well, I mean, I guess it was an old league, but it got revitalized. I don't even think it's owned by the same people. But, yes, no. It is a spring football league.
Yes, football. You Americans and your football. So, anyhow, we're I would say, the world leader in coverage of USFL stuff. So, anything, everything you need is over on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And, obviously, listen to all our amazing podcasts, which we have new ones, new series of podcasts rolling out seemingly by the day. So, make sure you check that out. I think I hyped everything up and need help. Oh, my MMA site / newsletter, moneymma.substack.com. Free subscription. Or if you want to support the site, support me and get extra coverage, you can subscribe for as little as $40 a year or $5 a month. So your call. But check out the stuff I have over there. So I think that's it. Dan's podcast, Top Turtle MMA. Who this week you have on? Who, Dan?
Well, Adley Edwards.
Right. Catcher, right.
which we just talked about. I'm also talking to Aaron McKenzie, who headlines LFA 128. That's next week, right before the pay-per-view.
All right, there you go. And no prelim primer this week because there's no prelims for you to be primed on. But Dan will be back priming you next week, correct?
That's correct.
All right, good. Take us home, Mr. Vreeland.
All right, I'm Daniel Gumby Vreeland. He is Sunshine Jeff Fox. And we will catch you next Sunday.
Sunday, how about?